Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
Lord, you're worthy right now, God. You're holy, holy, holy God. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Jesus, for all that you do and all that you are. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Come on, somebody clap your hands one more time unto the Lord right now. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thankful for the presence of the Lord that is here right now. Amen. Jesus is in the house. Amen. Amen. Very quickly, we are going to transition. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. While you're doing that, we are dismissing our Sunday school, our little ones. We also have nursery available for if you have one under two. And our teenagers are out as well. Teens are out. Amen, amen, amen. Thankful for what the Lord has for us today. Amen. How many of you enjoyed Brother Victor Jackson last week? My man is a preacher's preacher. My. If you missed it, we do have a podcast, and so I would encourage you to subscribe to that if you are active and out of service or can't hear it or want to listen to it again, which you could probably go back and listen to Brother Jackson's message two or three times and get two or three different messages out of that. You can find our podcast on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. If you just search The Nova Church, that will pull up for you. And that is a first step in our on our long-term vision. And eventually we will be able to have a stream that if you are out, you'll be able to watch the video of that. And that is our goal that we're moving towards long-term. Amen. Sometimes when people travel or they miss something, they want to stay in the loop. We want to make sure that you are able to do such. Amen. Acts chapter 7 and verse 5 is where we're going to go this morning. I feel very, very positive that I have a word from the Lord for you today. And what a great job by our worship team. Fantastic. Didn't they do an excellent job? Amen. Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 5, the Bible says, "And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." Now he's talking about Abraham here. And if you are familiar with this text, Acts chapter 6 and 7 is Stephen and his sermon, and he is getting ready to, he's delivering a word, a sermon, if you will, and he's talking about Abraham here, and then he says in verse 6, "And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place." Verse 8, "And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. So Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. In the wilderness only you must not go far away. Plead for me." Amen. We'll just stop right there at the 12 patriarchs. Okay, let's go. So I want to preach to you today on this subject, the possibility and probability of promises. The possibility and probability of promises. Turn to two or three people and say, the possibility and probability of promises. Amen. And you may be seated. This morning, I bring to you something unique to ponder along with Pastor and Pastor's daily musings of what do I have in store for you today? Maybe this right here, that odds. When you talk about odds, not odd people or odd things or odd behaviors. Anybody know anybody with some odd behaviors? Amen, amen, amen. A few people, amen. People pointing at each other around here, amen. Okay, okay. You know, people have odd behaviors. They may talk odd. If you go to a different part of the country or somebody visits, they may have an accent. And depending on how or where you may think, well, that's a little odd. They're not from here. I distinguish them differently. Or sometimes people collect odd things. Anybody collect any odd things in here? Nobody's going to admit in the house of God. Okay. You know, sometimes people are odd collectors, if you will. But odds in and of themselves are very interesting. Some may be thinking the famous line in movies like Hunger Games, may the odds be ever in your favor. But that's not necessarily the same thing as what we are going to dive in today. Odds can be defined as the ratio based on the expected probability of one way or the other. My definition, odds are the likelihood something's going to happen or it ain't going to happen. Odds in our life, we all face odds every single day. There are odds that are played in sports, and Vegas has made a city in the middle of a desert based on odds and the likelihood something's going to happen or something's not going to happen. And odds all the time are being discussed. You hear it that there was an underdog who beat the odds and their team beat this team. And there's odds in our lives. Odds of being audited by the IRS, for those of you wondering, are one in every 160 people. You have a good chance. Odds of being injured by a toilet are one in 10,000. Who knew, right? Other fun odds I found while researching, odds of getting attacked by a shark are one in every 3,748,067. So you have a better chance of being injured by a toilet than being bitten by a shark. Just FYI, fear the toilet, not the shark, folks. Baby shark, doot-doot. Okay, nevertheless. Odds of winning the $1 million in the McDonald's Monopoly game. Any McDonald's fans in here? Okay, there's a few honest folks. We're getting better. Odds of winning the $1 million in the McDonald's Monopoly game is one in every 451,822,158. In other words, you have a better chance of being bitten by a shark than winning the McDonald's Monopoly game. Good luck. The odds of getting struck by lightning are one in every 700,000. The odds of winning the Powerball are one in every 292 million. And odds of dying in a plane crash are one in every 11 million. Pretty fascinating statistics when you think about odds and what odds are. So let's define this a little further. As pastor's going somewhere, hang with me this morning. Let's talk about the difference between possible and probable. Possible means something's able to happen, but it's not necessarily certain to happen. If you think in the famous line of the movie Dumb and Dumber, the guy says, so you're telling me what's the odds of a girl like you and a guy like me getting together? And she looks at him and she says to Jim Carrey, one in a million. And he goes, so you're telling me there's a chance. That's possible, right? Probable, on the other hand, means it's more likely to happen. There is a very strong likeliness that it is going to occur in your life. This morning, the first thing we must understand when we talk about possible and probable in our life is that the promises of God are settled by His Word and not by the possibility of the outcome. Can I preach to somebody this morning? Situations do not determine if God works or God does not work. Somebody say amen. The power of God is not adjusted based on the odds. God doesn't say, well, the odds are against this situation, so I don't think I'm going to show up. Or, man, they're really close. Now I'm going to go ahead and do something in that. It doesn't work like that with God. It's not like if we get better, then God's going to finish the process. The odds don't determine if God is going to show up. And somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
In fact, I am of the persuasion this morning that the Lord likes it when the odds stack up against. He likes to operate in the impossible. Can I get a witness, somebody? It's because when it's in an impossible situation, God can get the most glory out of it. It's when it's an impossible situation that God can say, now there is no doubt. Because when he gets the most glory, that's when the debate ends. That's when the discussion no longer can continue. That's when doubters can believe, is when God says it was impossible, but yet somehow it came to pass. There was no doubt that God did this in my life. That's when the discussion shifts from, well, I don't know how it happened, and I can't tell you how it happened, but it happened. That's how the incurable disease disappeared, or the unexplainable miracle began to occur, or the blind that see, or the lame that are healed, or the leper that's cleansed, or the cancer that's removed. You're telling me that when people say, I don't know how, I'm here today to tell you, I know how. And it's not based on odds, and it's not based on man, but it's based on God. Somebody shout amen. That's when the deaf hear. That's when we find that God operates at his best, is when odds are against the situation. When they say, I don't know an answer, I know an answer maker. Can I get a witness, somebody? When somebody says, I don't know how to solve the problem, I know a problem solver this morning. Can I get a witness, somebody? I know that when I've been in a dark place and I've been in a valley and I didn't know how I was going to get out, here's what I know. I serve a God who is faithful to get me out. When I didn't know what to do, God knew what to do. When they said, I don't know the answer, God still knows the answer today. Somebody shout amen. For the Bible says, for with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I'm telling you, that's when you sit there and you ponder and you say, I don't know how that happened. I remember when I was in Thailand and we were at a crusade and we were praying and there were people that were healed. There was a healing service, and I'll never forget, it was on a Saturday night, and what they did is they brought all the people that needed a miracle in Kam Peng Phet. They brought them to the front of the tabernacle, and after the preaching of the word, they said, now go lay hands on them and begin to pray for them. And it was astounding to watch as these people who they could not go to the doctor, or the doctor didn't have the answers, or they didn't know, but the only thing they did know is they needed something from God, and they needed God's provision, and they needed a healing from God. And I'll never forget watching people where all of a sudden they could see, or all of a sudden they didn't need their cane anymore. All of a sudden they were walking fine because God healed them. Hear me today. The odds and promises of God aren't settled based on the situation. It's not based on modern medicine. It's not based on how we can explain it. But when God is in the equation, it does not matter what the situation looks like. It does not matter what people say. It does not matter what the doubters may say. I'm here today to tell somebody that whatever you're facing this morning, we serve a God that can move in your situation, that can move in your day, that can move in your marriage, that can move in your body, that can move in your finances. We serve a God that can still do it. For Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Sometimes Jesus said, he said to them, you don't have enough faith. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you had the faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Hear me today. Could it be that our thing that we need from God is not predicated based on our situation, isn't predicated based on our status, but could it be that it's predicated based on our faith? Could it be perhaps that it's already settled that God say he would give it to us, but the reason that we haven't gotten it, could it be that maybe it's waiting on our faith? For we see that it is not the situation, but we see that it is the Lord sometimes just wanting to get more glory out of the situation. Sometimes he's building a testimony and you don't even understand it. Can I preach to you a little bit this morning? Somebody say, preach to me, Pastor. I love it right now. Somebody turn to Judges with me, Judges chapter 7. Now, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. I think it will maybe bring some clarity, but if you've got it in your Bible, you'll follow along with this and you'll see what I'm saying. Let me mess with your theology just a little bit this morning and begin to mess with your mind. Let me see if I can mess with your preconceived ideas of how God operates. See, in the natural, we like to think, oh, I've got to have everything lined up. More is better. Get me in the right situation. But that's not always how it works with God. God's ways are higher than our ways. Somebody say amen, right? And so we know that man's ways may work here, but God operates on a whole nother level. It's almost very opposite, if you will. That's kingdom principles, right? And when we understand Bible kingdom principles, what we understand is that the kingdom principles operate almost contrarian to where we are. They opposite, they go against the flow where you say, he that is first shall be last and the last shall be first. That's what Jesus said. He said, he that is greatest among you shall be called your servant. That doesn't make sense, right? What do you mean? That isn't the greatest at top? Aren't they the best? Aren't they the best? No, Jesus said, no, the greatest among you shall be called your servant. What we understand is when these guys asked about John the Baptist, Jesus says to them, he says, oh, and John the Baptist is the greatest prophet to have ever lived, greater than Elisha, greater than Ezekiel or Isaiah or Jeremiah. He is greater than all of the minor prophets of Amos and Habakkuk, and he's greater than Joel. He said, John the Baptist is the greatest prophet of all. And yet, you're greater than he is. He's under you. It's a kingdom principle. See, sometimes we don't talk and preach about kingdom principles and kingdom mentality. Sometimes we think like ours, but that's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We like to think in a certain mind frame that very well could have been established by our thinking or our environment or how we were raised, but could it be that we need to adopt a kingdom mindset? And that's why he says, give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's when we find that when we pray and have faith, it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. We can speak to a mountain, remove, and it shall move based on our faith. And so we see that Gideon in Judges chapter 7 is in a situation where Gideon's having what I like to call revival in reverse. And sometimes that's what it means. You know, it doesn't make sense here. Judges chapter 7 and verse 1 and 2, the armies of Midian were camped north in the valley. And verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. Said no general or army or battle ever in the history of mankind. For what I know, now, I'm not necessarily a military expert, and so I'm going to go out on a limb here for our friends that are in the military. But what the ever present theory is that strength lies in numbers, right? Usually the more numbers wins the battle. That's kind of how that goes over and over. And so the Lord says to Gideon, you got a problem here. You actually got too many people to go fight the war. Because watch what he says. If I let all of you fight the Midians, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid and afraid can leave the mountain. Go home. So watch this. So Gideon goes from 32,000 people, and he loses 22,000 of them go home, leaving him only 10,000 willing to fight. Gideon loses two-thirds of his army because God says, yeah, this is going to work. You're going to win this just based on your own strength. We got to winnow this down. I actually want to do more with less. Can I preach for a second? Sometimes that's what God wants to do in your life, is he wants to do more with what we deem as less. But if we could ever see how God sees, we would start operating under the circumstances that God wants to do a great thing with us, regardless of how little we may think of ourselves. Can I preach, somebody? You know how to play the organ, bro? Where are you at? Okay, no, it's this, you know? Okay. Come on, bass guy. You can play some good. No? Okay. So watch. Verse 4. But the Lord told Gideon, after he goes from 32,000 to 10,000, there are still too many. Hold up. Hashtag, Lord, you seeing what I'm seeing? Hashtag, what's up, dog? You want me to go from 32,000 to 10,000, and you're saying this is still too many? And what do we see in verse 6? The Bible says the Lord gives them the instructions, let them go down, and those who lap with their hand or those who drink with their tongue, and 300 men drank with their hands, and all the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths to stream. And the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. What? Hold up. We start with 32,000. God says, that's way too much. Wait, wait, wait. We got to send 22,000 home. Now you got 10,000. God says, wait, that's still too much. Okay, now I'm going to operate with 300 of these mugs. So therefore, everybody knows that it was me and not you doing it by yourself. See, the problem is too many times we have to wait for the odds to move from impossible to more probable. And therefore, it goes against where God's saying, wait, wait, I don't want you to be in a probable situation. I want you to be in an impossible situation so I can get glory out of the situation. And see, that's where he says, I want to do this so I can give victory. I've already given you the victory, but I want to get glory out of your situation. I want to get glory out of your story. I want to get glory out of your testimony. And that's where we have to believe God promised it. The question is, will we believe it? Will we have the faith to act on it when he sold it to us, when it doesn't make sense, when it doesn't add up, when it's backwards and logic says no? That's when faith comes into play. And can you imagine if Gideon would have said, no, I'm not going to, but instead Gideon trusted God and said, I'm willing to go from 32,000 to 300 because I'd rather have 300 and trust God than 32,000 and say, I think I can do this without God. I don't know about you today, but I want God on my side regardless of what I think or how it looks or what I want it to look like. The children of Israel, we find in the same scenario that the children of Israel defeated the greatest army on the planet without lifting a sword, without firing a shot, didn't protest, threaten. What we know is that the Lord operated against all odds, against an army, against people that were not trained soldiers, began to have victory over some of the greatest fighting force on the day of their time. And we find in Psalms 106 in verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, our fathers, when they were in Egypt, they did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but they rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea, and yet he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power. Why does the Lord work? Because he wants to get glory out of the situation. He wants to get something out of it. He's doing it for his name's sake, and so that he can establish a cause and a witness to other people. For 2 Samuel chapter 7, if you've got your Bibles, and verse 21 through 24, Samuel, David is going through this discourse, talking about the odds, and he says in verse 21 of 2 Samuel 7, because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant know it. Can I preach for just a second right there? Let me just drop it like it's hot right at that spot. Let me just tell somebody that we've got to understand that maybe what you're going through is for a reason, so that you may know that God can work in you and so that God can prepare you for something more. Because if he doesn't prepare us, then how can we expect for him to take us to greater levels or another dimensions or more things in our life if God's not preparing us? So sometimes the only way to prepare us is to stretch us and to stretch our faith. And it's going to hurt a little bit. And it's going to go, ah, but here's what God knows. I'm doing it, and you're going to come out of it, and you're going to have victory out of it. But hear me today, somebody. I'm preaching to somebody's situation that regardless of what you're going through, God's going to bring you through it. And he's stretching you for a reason so that you may know it. For David goes on to say, therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God beside you. Those words are uttered by a man who knew what impossible was. Those words are uttered by King David, who's talking to the prophet Nathan, and he's saying, oh, I know. God has done some stuff for me when I fought a giant that nobody else would fight. And the odds were absolutely impossible to where the king says, you can't fight this guy. He has been a man of war since his youth, and you are just but a young person. How can you fight the man, David? How can you fight the giant? How can you overcome Goliath? He said, I know what odds are. When the king was trying to tear me down and trying to kill me, that's when he said, I'm going to continue to trust God. He said, there's no God besides you. There's nobody like you. He said, you are great, oh God. And watch what David goes on to say in verse 23. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself, watch, a name and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out your people whom you redeemed for yourself. That's why he did it. Could it be? You're not the main actor in this story. He is. See, we often think that we're the main actor in the movie, that your story is actually all about you. But what if you're actually just a role player in his story and you're not the main guy? I know, right? That's kind of a bummer, dog. See, oftentimes we like to think, we're the star of the movie. Insert favorite actor / actress here. You like to think that you're Tom Hanks or you're whoever it is, right? You're Will Smith in Aladdin or whoever it is. I don't know. Insert person here. And you like to think that when you're walking to work, there's like a soundtrack. Anybody else like that sometimes? You know, so you're like, you know, and you're just walking. You're not even listening to music. You just, in your mind sometimes, think that there's like a soundtrack going on. Like, I'm just about my day. And there must be people watching me. You think it's like a real-life Truman Show. Anybody ever seen the Truman Show? Wow, that is your homework. Okay, circle back. That's like a really cool pop culture reference that I should get mad points for as a preacher, and y'all just missed it, okay? You need to become as cool as your pastor. Where are the teen? Well, the teenagers probably haven't seen it either because they're young. Nevertheless, okay. The point is sometimes we like to think that we are the main actor and everybody else is watching us, but what if actually you're just a part of the story and not the main character? And he is. So that he can get glory out of the situation. That you're the supporting actor or actress, but he's the main player. Just like Moses, and just like David, and just like Noah, and just like Abraham, and just like Isaac, and just like Jacob and Joseph, and just like the apostles, and Peter, and John, and Paul, and James. What if they're not the main actor, but they're just doing what God wants so he can get glory out of your life, so that he can use you as a vessel, because we are simply the clay and he is the potter. And that's what we find, that when the Lord did that, he established a reputation among himself, that when Joshua takes the children of Israel into the promised land, the land that he had already promised Abraham. If you read Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 6, we understand that the promise of God was already, hey, I'm going to have them go into the wilderness, and I'm going to bring them out of this bondage. He said, I've already got the plan down. I already know the place I'm going to give them before they stepped foot on the place. And yet we find that when they defeat the army of Egypt, that when they come out of the Red Sea without ever fighting a battle, without ever lifting a sword, without ever firing an arrow, here's what we know is the Bible says that there was a reputation that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Israelites, the God of them had delivered them against the mighty army of Egypt, and now the people were fearful because of the God of Israel, not because of Israel. There's a difference there. And that's why Jericho is so amazing, is Jericho's army is a battle-tested army, and Israel is not. Israel is this people that are not. And we find that here over and over and over, that God does this so he can get glory out of this. Hear me today, somebody. Let me hurry on. Don't just pray when it's probable. And we also should not just pray when it's impossible. But we ought to pray the impossible, that God can get glory out of our situation. That's what we need to pray. God, get glory out of this situation. Somebody say that now. God, get glory out of my situation. God's got a plan in your life. God's got a story in your life. Right now, he's writing it down that one day you'll look back and say, I didn't realize what was happening at the time. But God, he had a plan the whole time. And little did I know, he was working it out. Like the old timers used to say, sister, he was working it out before I didn't even realize what was going on. He had it already planned and moving on, and it was working it out. Hear me today. God is wanting glory out of our situation. And Jesus wants glory regardless of possibility and probability. The promise is coming. We just have to hang on and keep on believing. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, I want you to open your Bible up to this. And I'm almost done. I'm getting ready to land the plane. I'm hanging there. Pastors, we're coming in for a landing here, folks. But here's what I want to show you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And if you've got this in your Bible, you should highlight this or circle it or underline it. You may want to write in the margins, this is a promise from God. And because watch this. You're going to need this in your life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 gives us hope on how to trust the promise in the middle of the process, because we can't give up on the promise because we are discouraged with the process. Too often we give up on the promises of God because we get stuck in the process. But if we keep our eyes on the promise of God, the process is irrelevant. The process is irrelevant because we have the promises of God. What's the promises of God? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let me tell you what that is. In the King James Version, it says it like this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. The New Living Translation also said it like this. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful, and he will not allow the temptation to be more than what you can stand. You can stand. Not what your neighbor can stand. Not what your pastor can stand. He said, I won't give you a greater temptation than what you can stand. And when you are tempted, watch this, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Everyone is tempted, but the Lord gives three promises. Temptations are different to each and every person, and each person has battles and battles them differently. But don't let the battle of God baffle your faith. Don't let it be treated differently of what you're going on. With every trial, that God has given us a way to triumph, because he equips who he calls. And when we understand that God is faithful, he will not leave you, he will not forsake you, he will be there through you in every single thing that you're facing. When you feel like giving up, hear what pastors say. You need to declare, God, you are faithful in my life, and you're going to be faithful in my situation, and you're going to be faithful in how this works. God is faithful. But then he goes on to say, I won't put more on you than what you can bear. If you get to the end of your rope this morning and you feel like you can't make it, you feel like you can't take another step, I've got good news for you. The Lord sees something in you that you don't see in yourself. He sees more than what you can handle, where you literally feel like you're hanging on by the last thread. You feel like, I don't know if I can even go make it one more day. I'm here today to tell you, the Lord won't put more on you than what you can bear. You may not believe it, but he sees something more. He sees your capacity. I don't know about you, but sometimes whenever I'm making coffee, I always want to fill it to the absolute very brim. Why? Because sometimes I'm stupid, okay? And my wife would probably say amen to that. But the reality of it is sometimes I'm like, let's just see how high I can get it before it overflows. Why not? Why? I don't know. These are the games I play in my head where I'll be sitting there and I'll be like, can I get a little higher? Can I get a little higher? And I'll be putting cream in, but like maybe a little more cream. I think I get a little more cream. It'll be like to the very brim, like overflowing like a dome. I'm like, I think I can get one more drop. Doop, no, up, ah, there it goes. You know, that's me. They hear me today. Sometimes I am trying to judge the capacity of what the thing can hold based on what I want in the cup. And so I'm like, ah, come on, a little bit more. Come on, a little bit more. And then when it starts, I'm like, ah, too much. Hear me today. Sometimes we misjudge our capacity because we are so blinded by the process in the situation. I'm preaching to somebody this morning, and I just hope that you understand that if you could ever understand that your capacity may be different from how God sees your capacity, you'd begin to say, man, I feel like I'm in, but God must know I can handle a little bit more. God must know I'm going to come out of this a little bit more. God's got a plan for this. He's got a story for this. He's going to get something out of this situation, and he will give you a way out. Before we see the answer, God's already made the way. That's something that I'm excited about. I was reading that, and I was reading that in my devotion a couple weeks ago, and I said, man, God has already got a plan for this. Before he ever put them into Egypt, before he ever put his people into slavery, before he ever put them into that situation, he already had a plan. I already know how I'm going to get them out, and I already know them where I'm going to put them. So how do you do this? James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Some of that's the problem. Well, this was pastor gonna pastor right here. Buckle up. What do they mean by that? Well, here's what he means. Sometimes the problem is we don't submit ourselves to God. We submit ourselves to us. And God's saying, if you don't submit yourself to me and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Problem is, we just like, well, I'll do it my way. And God's waiting on us to say, God, not my way, but your way. God, thy will be done. Not my will, thy kingdom come. Let's all stand. The promises of God are for each and every person. And that sermon in Acts chapter 7, there's a promise that is presented. What we see and what we know is in Acts chapter 7, in the middle of Stephen's sermon, as he's testifying to the Jews of this Jesus of Nazareth, he said, and he gave him none inheritance, not so much yet as he set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession so that he could get glory. Before Abraham was able to possess it, he first had to believe it. Before you can possess the promises of God in your life, you have to believe that the promises of God are for you and your life in this season. Promise always precedes possession. But if you're going to possess it, you have to believe it first. Today, what I know is this. As Sarah said to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord?
when Sarah said, how can I have a child? I am old. How can I bear the promise of God? She laughed at God. She was looking through a lens of odds. It's not just improbable. It's impossible. I'm old. How this doesn't work like that. She's literally saying, it is impossible. What you're saying, God, does not work. Which is why they called Isaac the promise. He was a promise child. That when Abraham tried to take things in on his own, looking at the odds from a probability standpoint, he said, well, God, I'd love to, but me and my wife, you know, we're not having the promise of God, so let's go and, well, I'll have Ishmael over here. And because he goes into the handmaiden and decides to operate based out of probability rather than possibility of trusting in God, he messed up the plan of God. But what we know is that God has a promise in our life. Today, this morning, if you need God to do something in your life, you're in the right place. If you need the promises of God in your life, you are in the right place. If you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you're in the right place. You may say, Pastor, what do you mean? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the removal of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it is a promise unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off. He said it is a promise that you can receive, and it may not make sense and it may not line up. And when the people in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4, they heard them speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the words to say, the men were confounded and said, how is it that we hear them in our own language? For aren't these but Galileans? Aren't these but country folk? They're fishers. They're ignorant folk. They're not even professional. And yet we hear them talking in our language from miles and miles away, from across the river. How is it that we hear them speak in perfect other languages? Because the Lord began to speak through them and to testify. Today, I'm here today to tell you that you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's all it takes, is just to have faith and believe that God can give it to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, the promises of God are for you. The promises of God are for each of you in your situation. And if you need the Holy Ghost in your life, if you need the Spirit of God living in your life, I'm here today to tell you that you're in the right place. You can get a refilling of the Holy Spirit. You can get the Holy Ghost living in your life. And when it's in your life, it's how you overcome. For you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Today is your day to get the Holy Ghost, to get a refilling of the Holy Ghost, to get the promises of God, for it is a promise unto you. The question is will you believe it, and will you say, God, I want it today? In this house, I wonder if right now, right where you are, if you could just pray and say, God, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, help me this morning, Father, as I come before you. Help me, O God, to serve you in every way, in every area. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would begin to move in my life. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would begin to move in my life right now. Father, forgive me, God, of everything I've thought. Forgive me of everything I've said. Forgive me of everything I've done. Would you pray that right now? Say, God, forgive me of everything I've thought. Forgive me of everything I've said. Forgive me of everything I've done. God, if I've done anything to displease you, Lord, I am sorry this morning. Help me, O God, that I may serve you. Help me, O God, that I may possess the promises of God.
Help me today, oh God, that I may know who you are in the name of Jesus right now. By the power and authority of your word, we declare it, God, that you would have your way in this house. That, Lord, regardless of what it looks like, we're going to see it happen right now. That, God, no matter what I need, God, I need you most importantly so that you may get glory out of my situation. That, God, I may be a testimony unto who you are. For, Lord, I am a vessel of Christ, God. Lord, I am bought with a price. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus right now. Lord, have your way. Have your way. Have your way, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we declare it right now. In Jesus' name, would you clap your hands unto the Lord? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to go straight into our altar call. If you need God to do something in your life, I want to pray for you specifically. And the reason I'm having you bow your head and close your eyes is I want you to feel bold and comfortable today to come to the front. And Pastor wants to pray for you. And I'm going to pray for two different parts. If you need God to move and you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost, if you need the Holy Ghost, if you have never spoken in other tongues, today is your day. I want to specifically pray that the promise of God, what you need is you need God living inside of you. You need Jesus living in the temple again. You need a refilling of his spirit inside of you. And today is your day. If you haven't talked in tongues in a while, today is your day to get a refilling of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to come down here right now, and I want you to begin to believe it, that God's going to give you the promise of his spirit, that you're going to feel all that washed away. He's not going to leave you comfortless, but he's going to give you the comforter, which is himself in this place. Right now, I want you to, if you need God to move in this place, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want you to come down. If you haven't talked in tongues in a while, today is your day to come down and to get something more. I want you to come down, and I want you just to begin to believe that God's going to move. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Pastor wants to pray for you that God would give you the Holy Ghost right now. I believe that God's going to move in your situation, and God's going to give you a refilling of the Holy Ghost, that his spirit is going to overcome. If you need something from God, you need the power of God today. I want you to come down right now. If you need God's promises in your life, I want you to come down and say, God, I need a promise in my life. I need a fulfillment of the promise. Right now, I want you just to begin to lift your hands, and as we begin to sing right now, I want us to begin to pray in the name of Jesus that God would give you his spirit right now, that God would give you his, I wonder if you'd lift your hands all across this place, and Pastor's going to speak
you
a word of faith
here,
in the name of Jesus right now, by the power and authority of the word of God. Lord, I speak a word of faith in this place, that God, you would begin to fill people with the Holy Ghost, that God, they'll begin to speak in other tongues as, Lord, you give them the words to say in the name of Jesus. That's it. Just open your mouth and begin to move your tongue and let those words begin to flow out. Don't worry about what it sounds like. Don't worry about what it says. Just begin to let it go right now in the name of Jesus. I wonder if you would begin to worship him all across this place in the name of Jesus, God. We declare it right now. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here. Touching every heart, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart, I worship you.
Amen. I want you just to lift your hands all across this place. I want if you just begin to worship the Lord right now. Hallelujah. That's it. I want if you just begin to worship Him as they continue to sing. I want if you would just begin to let a spirit of worship flow in this place. Hallelujah. The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. He is a way maker in your situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Lord, we need you right now. Hallelujah. Why don't you praise Him right now in your situation? Yes, God. Yes, God. That's it. Trust Him right now. God, I declare it right now. God, I declare it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Yes, God. Come on. Why don't you just declare that right now in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Just raise Him right now where you are. Lord, I love you and I thank you and I declare it. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, I worship you, Jesus. God, I thank you for what you're going to do in my situation. Lord, you're a way maker. Lord, you're a way maker, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Someone praise Him right now. That's who you are. God, I declare it in my life. I declare it. Even when I don't see it. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Someone just worship Him, God. He never stops. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, come on. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Lord, I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Yes, Jesus. We need you, oh God. Hallelujah, that's it. I wonder if you just praise Him right where you are. Hallelujah. Yes, God, I lift you up.
You never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
Hallelujah.
Even when I can't see it, you're working.
Yes, God, hallelujah. I wonder if right now you could just lift your hands. I think the Lord is speaking to somebody right now. The Lord is giving somebody some fresh hope in this place. That those tears that you've cried before you go to sleep at night, that no one knows what you're going through. I'm here today to give you a word from the Lord. God knows what you're going through and that you can bear more than what you think you can. Hallelujah, He is faithful. He is faithful today. We serve a God that's faithful. We serve a God that's faithful. Somebody needs to declare that. God, you're faithful. Somebody just worship Him. Say, God, you're faithful. You're faithful. You're faithful. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes.
You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
Hallelujah.
God. You never stop working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop working.
Amen. Amen. Would somebody clap their hands unto the Lord right now? Amen. I thank that we serve a God that can do anything. Amen. Amen. If you've never been baptized, today's your day. We've got the baptismal filled up outside. We've got robes. You don't need to even get your clothes wet. And we're excited. I believe we're going to baptize somebody. I believe God filled two people with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. Thanks be to the Lord. Amen. We give God praise and glory for that. Somebody shout amen. Amen, amen, amen. God is good, somebody. Amen, amen. If you've never been baptized, today's your day. Turn to somebody. Say, you ever been baptized? If they haven't, today's their day. We can baptize you. We've got water. This morning I read in my devotion in Acts chapter 9, what doth hinder thee? Amen. That's what Philip said to the eunuch, what doth hinder thee? Amen. Amen. Today is a great day. We're getting ready to baptize somebody, and amen, we're fixing to thank. Amen. Amen. If you want to get baptized, just go ahead and we'll get you ready right now. Go ahead and see my wife. Does anybody else want to get baptized? Raise your hand. Amen. There's one. Thanks be to God. Amen. Woo! There's two. Amen. That's great. Amen. 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 Thanks be to God. Anybody else want to get baptized? Woo! You know why that's a big deal? Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 3, unless a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Being born again of baptism is essential. Being born of the Holy Ghost, being born of the Spirit is essential. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. Amen. I believe heaven is excited about what's happening here at Nova Church, and we're so thrilled about that. Amen.